1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Let's all stand, please. Look in the last few verses. You'll find verse 25 at the end of the chapter. Four words. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 25. We read these words. Brethren, pray for us. Brethren, pray for us. Can I share this with you? You probably know already where we're going. You've thought of this, but could I share this with you? Those four words were written by a missionary. Brethren, pray for us. Now, I know that they were written by an apostle. I know that they were written by a preacher. I know they were written by someone in full-time Christian work, but inarguably, these words were written by a missionary. I'm not sure if you called all of our missionaries and said, "What can our church do for you?" I'm not sure that the first thing that would come across the line, the phone lines, from whatever corner of the world they're tucked away in is this: "Preacher, just tell them to pray for us." Sometimes we might question the sincerity of a missionary that would come in on deputation and bring prayer cards and ask you to take a prayer card and say what most every missionary that I've ever heard come to a church say at some point, where they say, "You know, we need support. We are praying for support, but if you can do nothing else, brethren, pray for us." And sometimes I think maybe we as Christians might question that and say, "Well, is that just something they say? Is prayer what they want more than money? Or perhaps is money equal to prayer or even more in their hearts?" And let me just say this, I can't answer that question for every missionary, but I dare say that most of them that have come here to stand have already been at least to visit, to survey where they will one day be. And if you've ever taken those trips, I imagine by the time they've walked those streets and surveyed that city and sensed the power of Satan in that region that they're going to go. Folks, I don't know if Indiana is considered geographically and what we would call the Bible Belt, but I feel like this is a biblically conservative state for the most part. I think we really have a hard time understanding, if we've never been there, what it is to land in a plane, in a country, and get out where Satan rules and reigns with an iron fist. Perhaps if we took those trips, perhaps if we took those survey trips, perhaps if we visited those missionaries, we would never again question the sincerity of a missionary who stood here and said, "Blessed Hope, if you can support me, that's good and well. But above all, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us." I suppose if my wife got on the telephone and called all of the missionary wives and said, "Listen, preacher wanted me to call you. What do you need?" I'm not sure that mother who's trying to raise children in those environments, who's trying to support a husband in a ministry where all of the odds of the world stacked against them, I don't think she'd say, "I want a toaster." You know what I think that those women would tell you with all sincerity? "Brethren, pray for us." Now, I'm not saying that they don't have real needs. I'm not saying that some of these dear wives don't have needs for some real life things. But let me tell you something. We need, as a church, to pray for our missionaries. So we're going to preach on praying for our missionaries, or how to pray for your missionaries tonight. I'm going to give you just a handful of ideas. And maybe some things will click with you, and maybe God will use some things that I say, or perhaps God may use something that I say to stir something else inside of you, to energize our efforts in prayer. Brother Jerry, we're going to preach on prayer again. I'm not going to say that I will, because God dictates these things. But I will tell you this, I've asked the Lord in our year of prayer, I've asked the Lord to allow me to preach this year 50 times on prayer. And either teach or preach 50 times on prayer. And folks, let me say this, if I do that, I will have touched the tip of the ice. I may have shown you the tip of the iceberg. I might just give you the bare essentials of what the Bible has to say about this great subject of prayer. So tonight, we're going to preach on this subject, how to pray for our missionaries. Let me give you several things. Please consider these things tonight. Number one, pray. Church, this is what I want to ask you to do. This may be something you've never thought of. Pray for future missionaries. Pray for future missionaries. Now, Brother Jerry, is that biblical? Absolutely. Matthew chapter number 9, these are the words of Jesus. He says this, "Then saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." This is pre-prayer. This is pre-surrender prayer. This is pre-missionary prayer. This is praying for future missionaries. Now, let me encourage the members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church to pray for future missionaries, that God would deal in the lives and hearts of people who do not know as of yet that it is God's will for them to be a missionary, that we begin to pray for them in advance. You know, I'm excited that I get an opportunity to pray for Brother Luke and Sister Hannah and their children. It's a wonderful thing. Preacher, it's a wonderful thing to think that God used this church and these people. God used us in some small way to influence his life, and that God then put him on the mission field. I'm excited to be able to call out David Peach and Lacey's name in prayer, and to think that God's preparing them. They're heading down the home stretch of the preparation process of being on the mission field. Now, that's exciting, but can I say this? And by the way, Mrs. Townsley, she says some things and has over the years that so touched her preacher's heart. But I remember soon after Luke went to the mission field and he came back for a visit, she stopped me at the back door and she couldn't hardly get this out. You know, mamas get emotional, amen. And she said to me, she said, "Preacher," she said, "do you think that God might use Luke's example to stir the hearts of others of our young people towards the mission field?" And I said, "You know what? I not only think it, I pray it." And a young person, listen to me. If you go to the mission field because Pastor Jerry calls you, you won't stay very long. But you know what? God might just direct some young people. I'm talking about maybe some of them that are laying in the nursery back there. I'm talking about some of them that are already getting comfortable on their mama's lap and probably won't hear the end of this message. I'm talking about maybe some elementary age. You don't know Sunday school teachers. This is what's Masters Club workers. Brother, this ought to keep us on our knees. We don't know who we're teaching. We don't know who we're teaching. And you just don't know down the road whose life you've influenced. I don't say a whole lot. I don't name names. And I don't say a whole lot of things publicly because I don't want to put pressure on our young people. But two of our college students right now, we've got 9 young people in college, in Bible college right now, but 2 of them have counseled with me both on the phone and in person in the last semester concerning God working in their heart and maybe directing them to the mission field. Now, do I know that yet? No. Do they know that yet? I don't think maybe 100%. But isn't that an exciting possibility? An exciting possibility? I was walking through, and I won't tell you who it was, and it doesn't matter. But I was coming through here this evening, and I was trying to get to, you know, I'm always seems like running a minute behind everywhere I run, and I was shooting down through here, grabbing my Bible, and going down to the men's meeting real quick, and there was a young lady back there in the the map that we had this morning up here, it was leaning against the wall. And she said, Brother Jerry, do you have just a minute? And I wanted to say, no, but you can't say that. And I said, what do you need? Real quick, what do you need? She said, I want to show you where I'm thinking about being a missionary. Whew, I think I got a minute. I think I got a minute for that. Now, isn't it wonderful the fact that God, now whether that is God's will, whether or not that transpires, whether or not God gives that girl eventual peace about that, sends her there, or whether he read her, you all understand. I think we've got some veteran people here that understand. But isn't it wonderful that she's got a heart for that already? Now, young people, let me just say this. We've said it, pastor said it for all those years. Stay tender to the will of God. Say, Brother Jerry, where do you want me? I want you right smack 100% in God's will. And if that's in a pew at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I'll say hallelujah. But if it's on the other side of the world, listen, folks, you'll never be happy not being where God wants you. You will never be happy not being where God wants you. So number one, let's pray for future missionaries. Number two, let's pray for our present missionaries. Let's pray for our present missionaries. Now, Brother Eric, could you help me out here? Maybe grab a couple of the ushers. I'm going to give you something. And I think I'll just go ahead. I was going to give it out at the end, but I think I'll just give it to you right now because I'd like you to take a look at it. And I want you to take a quick look at it. And then when I say, please put it away, would you please put it away? I know Baptist people. You give them something that they can read during a sermon, and they're pretty much gone. Again, I want these passed out to 7th grade on up. 7th graders on up. And parents, if you would like one for an elementary age child, if you'll request that, that's fine. I'm not against them getting it, but I want at least now just to have them passed out to 7th grade on up. And good. I want you to take a look at this. This is another tool that we are going to put in your hand. And folks, like I said, when we began our 2008 year of prayer, I told you that this was going to be a 12-month journey. And so we're going to, from time to time during the course of this year, help you by giving you some resources that will maybe make it easier for you, more helpful for you to effectively pray for different areas here at the church. So if you didn't receive one yet, if you'll raise your hand. If you did not receive one, will you raise your hand? We've got, Kyle, would you head back up here? We've got two young ladies right up here that need one. Did we miss anybody on this side? You got an extra one there, brother? Okay, very good. Thank you. Okay, good. Anybody not get one, raise your hand. If you're waiting for one, would you raise your hand? We want to make sure you get one. Okay, let's put the rest of those back in the prayer desk. We'll just put them back in the prayer desk. And again, parents, I really mean this. If you want to incorporate this, help your children. This isn't something, you know, kids like collecting things. This is like a baseball card. That's not what this is for, okay? This costs money. It takes resources to produce these things. But if you will, as a parent, help your children use this, if this is part of what you want to do, they're certainly welcome to it. Now, what we have here in alphabetical order is the missionaries that we now support. From time to time, we'll update this 2008 Pastor's Prayer Team Missionary Prayer List. This is such a handy thing. I like the size of it. I like the durability of a laminated prayer request because you can take your Bible, as I'll show you right here, and slip it in there, and you can put this in your morning devotions Bible or however or whatever works for you. My wife, she takes the prayer list that we pass out at the end of every service or on Sunday night and Wednesday night. She takes that list and she jams it in the corner of her mirror, and she spends, oh, I suppose, 20, 30 hours a week there. So it's wonderful that she has that opportunity to spend that amount of time in prayer. You know, folks, you just have to do what works for you, okay? And there's not necessarily a right way and a wrong way when it comes to prayer. There's just the way that works for you. But here is something that you can use as a family, or you could use individually. And you can, it gives you a way to pray for our missionaries. Now, for many of you, I hope that you'll just make this a daily habit. Some of you may have the time, and God puts that burden upon your heart to every single day call out these names in prayer. For others of you, you may say, Brother Jerry, and folks understand this, people's lives are different. You know, somebody who's at home and retired, or somebody that's, I think of Mrs. Bowden and Mrs. Vestal and Mrs. Fulkerson, do you realize that they have more time, more opportunities to pray than the preacher does? Literally, they do. And thank God for these folks. You know, you say, Brother Jerry, I can't do a whole lot, but I can pray. Oh, my goodness sakes, you're doing a whole lot. Don't ever say that. Honestly, my goodness sakes. What an opportunity. So some of you may want to pray through this every day. Some of you might want to say, well, Brother Jerry, I'll tell you what. I'll pray one side one day and one side the next, and every 2 days I'll pray for our missionaries. Some of you may say, I'm going to pray through this list every 4 days. I'll pray one column down, then I'll pray another column. And I don't, you know what, folks, again, whatever God has you do. Let me just encourage you, though, pray for our missionaries. Pray for our missionaries. Now, let me give you number three. Ladies, could I ask you to do something in particular? Pray for our missionary wives. I'm going to ask the ladies of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, men, when I pray for the whole family. And ladies, it's not that I don't think that you're going to do that also. But could I ask you to take a special prayer burden and pray for our missionary wives? Now, you know what it is, most of you ladies, to be a wife. You know what it is to be a mother. You know of all the concerns, all of the responsibilities, all sometimes of the pressures that come with that. Now I want you to take all of those and realize that everything that God's asked you to do, now you do in a foreign land where there's a foreign language, where everything's different. And I want you to just energize what you know in your heart about being a wife and mother. I want you to transfer that into the power of prayer for these missionary wives. They need our ladies praying for them in a special way. Now, also on this, you have, on this sheet of paper, you also have email addresses. And I'm going to ask that men from time to time, let's contact some of our missionaries. And I'm talking about men contacting the man. I'm talking about ladies. From time to time, would you send an email to a missionary wife? And you say, well, Brother Jerry, I don't know this person. Well, he that hath friends must show himself. And you know what? You can say, dear so-and-so, you don't know me, but my name is, and I attend Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And this morning, I prayed for you. And folks, you just don't know. That might just be the absolute thing. You have no idea what's going on. I don't, for the most part, I read a monthly letter. I try to keep up. I try to stay in contact. But I don't know their heart-to-heart, day-by-day needs. I don't know their heart needs. I don't know the financial need. I don't know sometimes the emotional need. I don't know whether they're going through a time of depression. Folks, this matter of adjusting to a different culture is a traumatic experience upon a missionary family emotionally. And if you've never done it, and I haven't, you just don't know. I don't know what their need is. I don't know what satanic attack that family may be under. I don't know what's going on in the needs of the children, but I know that missionary wives need our prayers. So, number three, ladies, let me ask you to pray for the wives of our missionaries. Number four, let me ask the teenagers and the children to pray for our missionary teens and kids. Let me tell you something, and this is something that Anna Cinder suggested to me, and Sister Anna, I will say this, carries a special burden for our missionary family. She just does. I'm not saying that there's not others that do, but I know that she does. But she has helped collect for us all of the birth dates of all of the children that are in the home still of our missionaries. And I understand, folks, that what we have here, you say, well, Brother Jerry, you've missed one of the children of one of our missionaries. What we've done is we've, if the missionary, if the child of that missionary is still in the home with them on the mission field, then they're on this list. And I know there's always one more thing we can do, but if we put the married ones, then shouldn't we put their wives? And if we put their wives, shouldn't we put their kids? And if we put their kids, shouldn't we put their dogs? And after a while, you know, folks, it's never ending. So what we've done is provided you a list of the missionaries and the children that are still in the home of those missionary families that we support, okay? Now, this is exciting. Now, let me have your attention, okay? And look up here a minute. Forget looking at that thing for just a minute. Welcome back. Amen. And I know you want to look at it, and I'll let you later. But listen to what I have to say, because this is exciting. We are now taking that list that she's provided for us, and we're going to take that, and by the end of this month, Lord willing, this will be completed and activated. But I'm excited about this. Every Sunday school class is going to be given the names and the mission field of missionary children that are the same age as those children. Now you think about this. This starts all the way down in the nursery. And we're going to have missionary babies posted on our nursery wall. Isn't that exciting? You say, well, Brother Jerry, the babies can't pray for them, but I think we've got nursery workers that every time they're in there will look at that wall and pray for those missionary babies. We're going to have posted on that wall missionaries who are carrying babies, expecting babies. And those of you that have a heart for children, you have a heart for the nursery, while you're praying for our kids and caring for our kids, sometime if you get that quick break before, after, or during, I don't know if it ever happens during, but just take a moment and pray for those babies. Now, what's exciting is, you think about this, is these children will grow alongside these children through our Sunday school departments. There'll be a time, nursery, there'll be a time where that child turns 2 years old. And you know what happens in our nursery when they turn 2 years old? They go to Sister Nancy's class. And we will graduate our missionary children right along with them. And when they turn two, they'll go to the 2 and 3 year olds and be posted on that wall. And you think about this. Our young people will grow up with that group of missionary children that are their age. And I think it's exciting. Can you imagine maybe a year from now we have, and we're going to have several of our, just worked out this way. I didn't put out a call. I didn't send out an email. I didn't request this. But we have a number of our missionaries that we're already supporting that is coming back this year and want to come through and give us a report. And I'll just about in our schedule move heaven and earth to accommodate a missionary that's coming back from the field that wants to come back to one of the supporting churches, our supporting church, and present an update, because we need to hear from them and we need to see them. But wouldn't it be neat that maybe a missionary comes in and they've got a fifth grade girl, and our fifth grade girls know this girl by name, have been praying for this girl, and come right up to her and able to call her by name when she comes and visits Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Isn't that exciting? And they'll literally grow up together. I mean, those nursery babies that are with our nursery babies down the road, when that group is in first grade, they'll be in first grade together. When they're in sixth grade, they'll be in sixth grade together. And we'll pray them through. Now, Sunday school teachers, what I want you to do is to take, now, you're going to, Sunday school teachers are going to have to do with these missionary kids what they do with our kids. You're going to have them for a while, and then you're going to pass them on, just like a Sunday school class. But while you have them, I want you to ask the Lord to help you from time to time to say, you know what, young people, we're going to shorten our lesson just a little today, and we're going to do, at the end of the last 10, 15 minutes of class, we're going to do a missionary project for one of the missionary children that are your age. And so those opportunities are there. Sunday school teachers, let me have you do this. Do not encourage, and do not, listen to me, I have my reasons, do not encourage the children in your class to email missionary children. I want that to be controlled by each parent. You hear me? Okay. I want the parents, if they want to do that, to do that. If they don't want to do that, that's fine. Folks, listen to me. We do have to be careful. We just have to be careful. So be careful about that. But you could, as a group, sign a card. You could, as a Sunday school teacher, send us an email. And you could, if you could control that and communicate, that would be fine. And you might immediately go ahead and email the parents of the missionaries and let them know what we're doing. That'll be an encouragement to them. And so I think that that's a great idea. I think it's a neat idea. It's something we're working on. And like I said, by the end of the month, we'll have that activated. And what a blessing. I'd like to think that these young people that are scattered all over the world that we support are going to be passed up and grow up with our young people, and they would know at least a group of the children their age are missionary children. So number one, pray for future missionaries. Number two, pray for our present missionaries. Number three, ladies, pray for missionary wives. Number four, pray for missionary children. Young people, let's get involved in that. Number five, let's pray. You say, Brother Jerry, what do we pray? Number five, two more things. Number five, let's pray a hedge of protection around our missionaries. Now, Brother Jerry, I don't know their needs. Well, folks, listen, I a lot of times don't either. If they don't share them through a letter, I don't know. And those letters come once a month, sometimes bi-monthly. There's no way for us to know the day-to-day heart need. But you know what? God knows. God knows. But I will tell you this. Every missionary family needs that hedge of protection prayed around them. Folks, I mentioned this in my introduction, so I'm not going to re-preach it. But if we spent 1 week living in their home and living in their neighborhood and dealing with what they deal with, we would understand the importance of this matter of a hedge of protection. Do you realize across the globe there is a growing hatred for Americans in general? You know, for most American people to live in a foreign country and take residence in a foreign neighborhood is a constant, consistent danger to that family. You say, but I feel like that they're in a country that's friendly to our country. Well, maybe in policies, but there is a growing animosity towards America globally. I mean, internationally. Folks, you sense that? Do you understand that? You pick up on that? And so just being there, I'm talking about as a businessman, if they had nothing to do with the cause of Christ, they would need extra prayer. But then, on top of that, Satan wanting to challenge why they're there and what they're there to accomplish, my goodness sakes, we need to pray a hedge of protection around these people. So take the time to pray. Call out each name. Call out the name of the wife, the children. Ask God to build a protective hedge around each and every one of those. Number six, let me finish by saying this. Let's pray for the salvation of souls through their ministry. Now, again, what I've tried to do, and you say, Brother Jerry, there's so much more. I know we could stand here and give you 25, 30 different things that we could pray for missionaries about. But let me just try to keep things simple and then let God develop in your heart other areas that he might lead you to pray about. But let's pray for a hedge of protection, and let's pray for the salvation of souls. As you go through this list, ask for protection and ask for souls. Because, folks, ultimately, the reason that we're supporting them, the reason that we're sending them, the reason they wanted to go was to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And the one thing that Satan's going to try to fight in a score of different ways is their effectiveness to reach people for Jesus Christ. So pray. Pray that God would tenderize hearts. Pray that God would cause them to be open to the gospel. Pray that they would understand the gospel. Folks, in most of these mission fields, they just don't have the Bible basics. So many of these missionaries are literally starting from square one. Let me explain to you Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let me tell you about Adam and Eve. Let me tell you about something called sin. Let me explain what that is. And folks, concepts that we grasp as Americans the thinking process of many cultures. They don't think American. They don't even think like we think. And God has to give a missionary special grace and insight into that culture to even be... It's not a matter of just learning a language and saying words. It's a matter of understanding how they think. You understand, folks, that what, you know, in America, lying, ultimately, traditionally, lying in our culture is a bad thing. Could I share with you that that is simply not true in many cultures? When we bring up lying as an example of something that is bad and sinful that ought to bring guilt into their life, they think you're bragging on them. I'm not kidding. In many cultures, to have the ability to swindle someone or con someone or take an advantage of someone is a manly trait that is admired in their culture. And that's just one little example. These missionaries have to learn how these folks think and have to be then from their point of view, from their mindset, be able to open the scriptures and explain biblical truth. And sometimes they have to get over these huge hurdles. You know, remember what the Bible says, that there will be a time where evil will be called good and good will be called evil. And sometimes you've got a culture that's completely flip-flopped on right and wrong. And so then you're going to go in there and preach against sin, and sin's going to bring conviction, but you're not preaching against sin. They can't understand why you're mad about this or why God would be upset with this. Isn't that a good thing? Isn't that a positive thing? Isn't that a noble thing? And so I'm not saying that we're all ever going to fully understand everything that each one faces, but let me just say this. The gospel and the gospel presentation needs to be empowered by prayer. The Holy Spirit, literally, when Paul talked about opening their blinded eyes. Folks, there are cultures, entire cultures, that are absolutely blinded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many of you believe that the Lawrences, John and Marilyn Lawrence, in trying to reach the Jewish people, are dealing with a people who, for the most part, are absolutely blinded to the gospel? And so don't they need special prayer? But the honest truth is, folks, in every culture out there, in some way, Satan has infiltrated. In America, we face this too now. There is a blinding of the eyes to the gospel in America. So, what have we said tonight? We've said this. Let's pray for future missionaries. Let's pray for our present missionaries. Ladies, let's energize you in praying for our missionary wives. Young people, let's... We're going to help you become energized in praying for the missionary children. Let's pray a hedge of protection, and let's pray for souls to be saved and added to the kingdom of God.